Then Jesus said to his disciples,
I tell you, do not worry about your life,
what you will eat,
or about your body,
what you will wear.
Consider the birds.
They do not plant or harvest.
They don't have a storeroom or a barn.
Yet,
God feeds them.
You are worth much more than birds.
Much more than the birds.
Consider how the flowers grow.
They never work.
Or spin yarn for clothes.
But not even Solomon,
in all his majesty, was dressed like one of these flowers.
If that is how God clothes the grass of the field,
which is here today,
and tomorrow is thrown into the fire,
how much more?
How much more?
How much more?
Will he clothe you?
What a blessing to have a generous God. And one of the things that you can say to somebody who loves their dad is, you know, you look just like your dad. And that's what we're going to be celebrating today. We have a generous God who has given us so much. And part of what he does is he gives us something inside of us so that the real you and the real me looks just like our dad in heaven. That's what we want to celebrate today. I'd invite you to turn with me, if you have Bibles with you, to Luke chapter 16, or use one of the Bible apps if you have it on your phone or tablet. And follow along as we read this parable that Jesus told. What leads into it is Jesus is in a mixed crowd. He's got some sinners that were listening to him, and there were Pharisees there that were kind of complaining that Jesus was associating with sinners. And so Jesus, in the chapter before, tells three stories: the story of the lost coin, and the lost sheep, and then the lost son, or really the lost two sons. And then he leads into this parable that I'm sure made the Pharisees who were present scratch their head and go, this guy makes no sense whatsoever. It's Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this that I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 10,000 gallons of olive oil, he replied. Or 1,000 gallons of olive oil, he replied. Where am I? 900. There we go. I lost my place. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. Now, this is the amazing thing that must have made the Pharisees go, this makes no sense. The master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly or wisely. For the people of this world are more shrewd or wise in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. And then he speaks to us who are people of the light, who believe in Jesus. He says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it's gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now, this dishonest manager, he had one goal in mind, right? Life is all about me. Now, when I think about the despicable manager, I think about Gru, the despicable me, right? Now we can laugh about Gru, but he said too, life is all about me. All the minions, they were all for his benefit, right? The Pharisees thought this whole story was crazy. Some of you may be thinking I'm crazy to talk about Gru. But the reality is, we all live the Gru kind of life. We are all a despicable me. Now, how could I say something so judgmental about all of you? I'm just believing what the Bible teaches. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 says, I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. It's just a reminder that God judges the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. That coveting, being discontent with what God has given you, is sinful. And that's what Eve did in the garden. She coveted being more like God. She was discontent with what God gave her. She was a despicable me. Life is all about me. And the reason why I can say that you are also a despicable me is because the Bible says that you and I have all inherited from Eve and her husband Adam the same sinful nature. And so there is a part of every one of us that is discontent with what God has given us. But the great news that I want to share with you is if God has brought you to faith, God has changed Gru just like he did in the movie, that you are a new Gru. I'd like you to turn with me to Romans chapter 7 if you have a Bibles with you. It's on page 1132 in our Bibles that we give out here. And if you have your Bible apps, please open to Romans chapter 7, verse 14. I'll read through this, and there are some key phrases I'll have up on the screen. So the Apostle Paul is confessing his dilemma here in Romans chapter 7. He says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, now here's a key phrase, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. The Apostle Paul is talking about there's some kind of split personality going on within him. He goes on, verse 18, for I know that good does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature, in the despicable me part of me. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, again, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work, verse 21. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. There's a part of me that wants to do God's will. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? But thanks be to God, he delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's this battle going on. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Now I always, whenever I read this battle that's going on, this split personality section, I always like to end with Romans chapter 8 verse 1. If you have it open, why don't you join with me in reading it? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You and I have to admit that there's this despicable me part of me that doesn't do the good that the real me wants to do. But the Apostle Paul wants to wrap up this section by reminding us that you and I, if we are in Christ, if we trust in Christ as the God who died for us on the cross, there is now no condemnation. We don't have to worry about being called to account because in Christ we will not be condemned. So let's take let's think about this split personality that I've been talking about. We have to admit there is this despicable me part of me, that sinful nature within me that makes me discontent with whatever God gives me. But God also works something new in us, and this is what I call the new Gru. The new Gru is the real you. It's the generous, real you, the new Gru. Now, cut me some slack here because I've got 200 kindergarten through eighth graders up in the balcony in the other church that I have to try to connect with. So I'm trying to. Give me a little bit of slack here, guys. Okay. But I think it is helpful just to remember who you really are. We tend to think of ourselves, our identity, as this sinful nature, but the Apostle Paul, writing by inspiration, says the real me is this generous real you, this new Gru. This real me wants to do God's will. And that real you within you has only one goal, just like that shrewd manager. For the manager, the one goal was that people would welcome him into their houses, right? And so he used all that his master had entrusted him to him with one goal in mind. I want people to welcome me. Well, you and I are managers too. God has entrusted everything that we have to us. And we also have just one goal. The generous real you just has one goal. And that goal, of course, is a party. If I would ask kids, what's church like? Sad to say, an awful lot of kids would go, or what is heaven like? An awful lot of kids would go, it's church forever. But I'd suggest let's change the picture. What's heaven like? I'd say it's like a party. Because in the chapter just before this, in that parables of the lost coin and the lost sheep, you remember how each one of those parable ends? It says something like this. Let's read it together. There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Doesn't that sound like a party to you? Heaven is a party. And Jesus said, as the generous real you, live like that shrewd, dishonest manager. The shrewd, dishonest manager had only one goal in mind. And he used all of his resources with that one goal in mind. And that's what Jesus says to us who are children of the light. Use all the resources that God has given you with this one goal in mind. The verse that he said it in is verse 9. Use worldly wealth to make friends for yourselves so that when it's gone, when you die and you don't have any worldly wealth anymore, they'll welcome you into eternal dwellings. Use worldly wealth so that there's going to be more people in that party at the end of the world. And they'll welcome you there. And you'll celebrate together with them. It doesn't say, by the way, use part of your worldly wealth to make friends for yourselves. It just says, use worldly wealth. All of it. So, if you're hearing this and hearing me say that I want you to give 100% of everything that you have to the bridge in St. Paul's, well, that would be nice, don't get me wrong. You guys are a dead group today. Man, even at the 7:45 service, I got a chuckle from that. I'm not asking you, God doesn't ask you to give 100% of everything that you have to the church. But he is calling upon you, the generous real you, to invest everything you have and everything you are to the one goal. Because the generous real you recognizes it's not your life anymore. It's Christ's life. The apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, Christ's love compels us, for we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. That's a key thought. One died for all. The despicable me in every one of us makes us worthy of death, but the Apostle Paul says, one died for all, and therefore all died. In God's sight, because Jesus died on that cross, you and I have already died the death we deserved for the despicable me part of us. One died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised to life. It's not our life, is it? It's Christ's life. It's not our work. We're not working for a job. We're not working for a boss. We're not working for a paycheck. You know, the secular world does that. You and I are working for Christ. And everything that God gives us, we want to invest for Christ. So, invest first of all in yourself. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. So first of all, he speaks to the despicable me part of every one of us, right? He warns that despicable me, that sinful nature part of me, look out. There's a danger to misuse the wealth that God has entrusted to you. But then he goes on, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything. Let's read those last three words together. For our enjoyment. Don't you suppose that the devil wants you to feel guilty for every dime that you spend on yourself? Thank you. If you didn't hear that out on the internet, one child just said yes. So, all right, we've got audience participation. That's what I've been looking for. The devil wants us to think that we are just supposed to be like, you know, hermits. That a really religious person is a hermit. You know, that the monks back in the old days really had it right. But God says, I've given you this stuff for your enjoyment. Even in the Old Testament, God gave the Sabbath to the Israelites, right? Take a day off every week. Because God knows that his people need to be refreshed. Use worldly wealth to invest in yourself. To recognize God's given you your things for your enjoyment, but not simply so that you can feel good about your despicable me, but to recognize that for me, the real generous me, to be as effective in sharing the gospel as I possibly can be, I need to be refreshed. And that refreshment, that investment in yourself is going to take different forms. You know, there are people who are walking in the woods this weekend, which today I can understand. Yesterday I just didn't get it. But the hunters, they go out, why? It is not to find free meat. It is not free meat, right? They go out into the woods because they're refreshed. And so for the Christian hunter to go out in the woods and spend money on hunting can be an investment, because I want to be refreshed so that I can interact in the best possible way with the rest of the world around me, because I've got this party in mind. It's really not about me. It's about me being ready to serve others. Invest in your family. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3 says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family, really all fatherhood in heaven and on earth, derives its name." Why is it that you buy clothes for your kids? Yes, you want them clothed, but it's more than that. You want them to see your Father in heaven's reflection in your love for them. Because the generous real you only has one goal. It's not just that your kids have clothes or that they have a good time. The generous real you has that one goal. I want them to be in that party at the end of the world. And I want to reflect the Father's love to them. And that's true of every family relationship, right? Invest in others. Galatians chapter 6, Paul writes, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." This is such a great time to recognize the GRU in you, the generous real you. At this time of the year, there are so many things happening here at St. Paul's. We have a gift, Christmas gift tree, where we're buying gifts for the kids who are in poverty in our community. We are, as a school, buying gifts for kids to help kids so that they have a great Christmas in the inner city. We're giving coats and mittens and stocking hats to the kids at Garden Homes in the city. We're gathering a special offering on Thanksgiving. Every undesignated dollar that's given on Thanksgiving Day and Thanksgiving Eve will go towards helping the people in Puerto Rico who have been affected by the hurricane. You are the new GRU. I see the generous, real you in these actions. But our goal is not simply so that people have Christmases and they have nice gifts and they can keep warm and that they're fed after the hurricane. Our ultimate goal is that people see the love of the Savior in our generosity so that they might join us in that great party at the end of the world. You see, the new GRU still only has one goal. Use worldly wealth to make friends for yourself so that when it's gone, they'll welcome you into eternal dwellings. They'll welcome you into that eternal party. And then invest in a grand vision. This is the vision that Jesus gives to John in Revelation chapter 7. "After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Boy, that sounds like a party, doesn't it? The grand vision that you and I are a part of is that God would use us to spread the message of Christ to the whole world. Because we have that party in mind. Every offering that we give is part of this grand vision. That's the generous, real you. And just to celebrate the generosity that God has worked in you and how it makes a difference so that there's going to be people in that eternal party, we wanted to share with you the story of two of our Bridge members here, David and Christine Kwasinski. So let's watch that video right now. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Chuck Thompson. I've been a member here at St. Paul's for 22 years. One of my favorite stories at St. Paul's is when I was walking out of church, a four-year-old boy looked up at his mother and asked, "Mom, is that the man with white hair that was on the big TV screen?" St. Paul's has had an incredible impact on the lives of my wife, my two adult children, both who have attended St. Paul's Elementary. Today, we are celebrating that a generous God creates generous people, like all of you at St. Paul's. As a way of thanking God for your generosity, we'd like to share with you a story on how St. Paul's is making a difference in the lives of two of our newest members, Dave and Christine Kwasinski. Hey, let's take a listen to their story. Well, Dave and Christine, thanks for joining me this morning. Well, let's start from the beginning. How did you guys get involved with St. Paul's?
Well, originally we got involved with St. Paul's because we were looking for a place to get married that was not requiring us to join as members. We didn't want to just join a church just to get married. So originally it started with us just planning our wedding here, and Pastor Pete encouraged us to try out some of the services, and we sampled all of them and definitely really enjoyed the bridge, and then decided to join at St. Paul's and go to Bible boot camp, as we call it, and the rest is history.
So Dave and Christine, how has your faith changed as a growing result of you coming closer to Jesus?
Well, it's definitely something that we absolutely look forward to every Sunday. Before joining St. Paul's, just we always were kind of pressured to go to church from family back in the day, many years ago. And now we actually look forward to it. We feel that we're closer to Christ. And it's very important to us to be able to look forward to coming here on Sundays.
Well, Dan and Christine, what's your favorite service to go to here at St. Paul's?
Our favorite service is definitely the bridge. It's more of a contemporary service, and it's very exciting, welcoming, and easy to understand and acknowledge everything that's going on in there, and it actually pumps us up for the rest of the week until the next one.
Oh, good.
I really enjoy it. It's definitely very different than the Catholic, you know, mass that we were used to growing up and just having to go. So it's definitely, the bridge is more our religion language. It speaks to us more. We actually listen and understand it versus just being there to be there, which definitely makes it our favorite service.
Well, Dave and Christine, thanks for sitting down with me.
Thank you.
So what would you say to people that are out searching for a church, searching for possible faith?
Well, I definitely recommend anybody that's looking to find an accepting place of worship, definitely check out St. Paul's, at least try the contemporary service on Sundays. Chances are you'll be back.
Yeah, everyone was very welcoming and accepting of our, I guess, differences in our different background, and definitely would recommend for anyone to try here, especially the bridge.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dave and Christine's story is just a small part of how God is using your generous offerings to bring people closer to Christ. Your gifts provide Christian education to hundreds of children each week. Your gifts provide spiritual care for the hurting. Your gifts provide support for mission work around the world. I look forward to seeing you at our Thanksgiving service, where our offerings are making a difference already in Puerto Rico. God bless, and see you then.
Not what I was screen that I was expecting. You know, I really do pray that, you know, it was a crazy illustration, but I hope it sticks with you. I really do see you as the new girl. And it's my prayer that you begin to see yourself in a new way, that your identity is that you are generous, like your Father in heaven. and that as the new group, the generous real you, you think of everything in your life, everything that you do, with that party in mind, that we use worldly wealth, our time, our energy, our abilities, we use it all, use worldly wealth to make friends for yourselves, to bring people to Christ, so that they'll welcome us in that party in heaven. Amen.